Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and we're studying together the Gospel through Mark, and we're in chapter 6. And now we come to a very wonderful, wonderful manifestation of the grace, the compassion, and the love of the Savior. And starting in at verse 30 of chapter 6, we will go right on down to verse 44, where we have before us the feeding of the 5,000, this multitude of hungry people in the wilderness. And I'd like to read this passage. I want to take the time and do it. Verse 30, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, told him all things, both what they had done, what they had taught. And he said unto them, come you yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is passed away. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat, you feed them. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread, and give them to eat? He said unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed, brake the loaves, gave them to his disciples, set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. They did all eat, were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. I've just read that because of the wonder of this amazing picture of our Savior in his compassion toward men and women. By the way, this is the only miracle of our Lord which is given to us in all 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And here we have the evidence of our Savior as the Creator. I'm not going to say much about verses 30 and 31, especially verse 30, because I mentioned it in our preceding lesson, of how the 12 came back and reported. And you'll notice how brief their report was. No detail is given of their experiences of what they went through. They just came back and reported. And you notice the name we have now. And the apostles gathered themselves. Didn't say the 12 gathered themselves. You remember in verse 7 of the chapter, he called unto him the 12 and sent them out 2 by 2. Now they're called apostles. An apostle means one who was sent on a mission. So now they've been on a mission, and they've come back, and they've made their report. In verse 31, you notice his wonderful care for them. He said to them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. I'm sure they were quite, tired. They'd been on a long journey. Some had been accepted. Some had been rejected. They'd poured out their lives. They had had his credentials. Now they come back and report it. And the Lord said, let's go away for a while, rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They hadn't any time to be alone. So he took them into a desert place. My, how the Lord cares for them. And by the way, may I urge you, we need to be alone with the Savior too. Nothing can take this place. It's so easy to wait on the Lord and then serve the Savior and then forget about waiting on him after you've had your service. Now you have this the other way around. He gave them authority to go out and do the job. When they came back, he says, come on for a rest. You know, I think most of us fail here, and I confess it. So easy to wait upon the Lord. You're going to have a service, or you're going to a Bible conference, or you're going to teach a class. Are you going to do something for the Lord and you wait on the Lord? Do you want the Spirit of God to use you in the ministry of the Word to exalt the person of our Savior? And when you come back, you're let down. You don't wait on the Lord, you just let down, period. you might do some things and relax. And I think the Lord understands that. I'm sure the Lord wants us to relax, have some rest. Even though he didn't have any rest, we need that rest. He knows that. And now in verse 34, we have another side of it. They departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them and went out and met them. Verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, that is, when he came out of the boat, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. I love the compassion of our Savior. He saw this great crowd of people, no teachers, no shepherds, no guides, and he had compassion upon them. They were lost like lost sheep. Do you have compassion upon people? Does your heart go out to people? Do you know, my Christian friend, one of the greatest needs today are for us as Christians to communicate to other people in love, in understanding, in tenderness. I think too many of us sometimes, you know, we get hard, we get cold and indifferent. We get kind of smug. We're standing for the truth and nothing is going to change us. We're willing to split a hair with anybody on doctrine. Then along comes some sinful folk or some weak people and we're immediately ready to condemn them instead of manifesting their compassion of the Savior, because most people are without teaching and they're without shepherds. Who cares for them? Huh? Who cares for these thousands or tens of thousands of young people? Many run away from home. Why do they run away from home? Even wealthy children run away from home. Nothing in life to appeal to them. Oh, that we Christians, I'm pleading with you who love the Savior, in some way open your heart and take these kids in. What I mean by that, manifest love and compassion and tenderness, understanding with them. Don't damn them. Don't clip them with a club. Our Savior saw this great crowd of shepherdless, weak people, and he taught them. All day long he taught them. And when the day was far spent, the disciples came to him. Now, look, let's look at it. Look at the failure of these disciples. Now they'd been out. You remember, they'd just come back from manifesting the power of God. You'd think they would learn a lesson. Oh, no. How slow we are to learn spiritual lessons. What did the disciples say? Send them away. This is a desert place. The time is far spent. They're getting on toward evening. Let them get out of here. Send them away that they may go into the country round about. And they won't leave until you send them away. Let them go and buy themselves some bread. We have nothing to eat. Send people away from Jesus who are in need? Do we? Don't you be too hard on these dear disciples. I wonder how many people we have driven away from Christ. Huh? You ever think of it? Send them away. Jesus never sends anybody away empty. Jesus always meets people's needs. If they mean business, if they're hungry, he'll meet that hunger. If it's spiritual hunger, whatever it is, he'll meet their need. Don't send them away. Do you know what Jesus said to them in verse 37? He said to them, you feed them. You feed them. I wish I had been there. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Lord, send them away. No, you feed them. You feed them. Why, we couldn't do that. If we were to buy $200 worth of grub, we couldn't feed this crowd. Well, how much have you got? I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 tortillas and 2 little sprats. What are they among so many? Huh? And he commanded me to sit down on the grass by hundreds and by fifties. He took the 5 little loaves, 2 small fishes, blessed them, break them, gave them to disciples, fed the whole crowd. 12 basketfuls left. Wonderful story. You feed them. I'm not going to send them away. No, sir. Nobody ever comes to me that's ever turned away. Allow me to quote again that verse from John 6:37. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise, under any consideration, cast out. By the way, how did they know about the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes? And you've got to go to John's Gospel for that, in John chapter 6. You remember? The Lord turned to Philip and said, how are we going to feed this crowd? Philip says, 200 penny worth of bread's not enough for this crowd, that they all might have a little wee bit. Stingy Philip. Andrew said, there's a lad here. You know, I can visualize that whole thing. Here's a lad who's been with the crowd all day. Talk about a miracle. If I know anything at all about boys, and by the way, I'm only an overgrown boy, and he's gone all day carrying his lunch. His mom had given him a lunch that day, and he carried it all day long, right toward evening. Hadn't even eaten it. Man, I would like to have heard the Savior that day. The boy forgot to eat his lunch. Huh? That's a miracle. But why is he standing alongside of Andrew? Well, he wouldn't stand alongside of Peter. Peter would have pushed him out of the way. No, he slid alongside of Andrew. Quiet Andrew. Wonderful Andrew. Thank God for these quiet Christians. Thank God for Peter. But at the same time, thank God for these quiet fellows. Who's Andrew? Simon Peter's shadow. There's a lad here. You can just see a little bit of an instance between the lad and Andrew, where the lad would say to Andrew, have you going to eat? Do you have any lunch? No, says Andrew, I don't. Well, I've got some. Ma, give me this morning. I haven't eaten it yet. I'll share it with you. And just then Andrew heard Philip say, 200 penny worth of bread's not enough for this crowd. Andrew said, there's a lad here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The amazing thing, too, is the boy gave up his lunch. The whole business. I tell you, the disciples, when they had their eyes on the loaves and the fishes and the crowd, couldn't do anything. But when they had their eyes on the Savior, they could have fed 5 million as well as 5,000. Do you know that? What's our trouble? Same trouble with the disciples. Jesus is saying to you and to me, feed them. Feed these hungry people with the word of God, with the gospel of his grace and so on. We butt to God. Oh, Lord, butt. Oh, Lord, butt. If I had somebody else's gift, if I only had so-and-so's teaching ministry, if I only had so-and-so's gift, what I would do for you. No, God doesn't say that. What have you got? What have you got? He takes what you give him. And when the disciples had their eyes off what they had, to whom they had, they could have fed thousands upon thousands of people. I want you to mark that. And when you and I get our eyes off what we have, off our circumstances, off people, and get our eyes on the Savior, you'll have success like they did. And they fed the whole crowds. And the amazing thing was, there was 12 basketfuls left, none wasted. May I suggest to you that whatever we give to the Lord and is blessed by him is never wasted? Is never wasted? You give the Lord what you have. He's not going to ask from you what you don't have. You remember Paul could say in Romans 1:15, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. Just as much as in me is. That's all. God doesn't ask you to do anything that you can't do. He supplies what you need. All he wants is you. These disciples looked at the 5,000. They looked at the 5 tortillas and 2 little fish. Lord, you're asking the impossible. We can't do this. Bring them to me. And they fed the crowd. Why? They had their eyes upon the Savior. And will you notice something? As long as they kept giving it out, it multiplied. When they stopped giving it out, it stopped multiplying. When you and I give the things we have, the spiritual truth to others, it multiplies on our hands. When you stop giving it out, it dries up. It dries up. I know that. I'm well aware of that truth, that principle. The more truth you give away, the more God gives you. The less you give away, the less you have. So as long as they gave it out, it multiplied. When they stopped giving it out, it stopped multiplying. And they had 12 basketfuls left. None wasted. Nothing is ever wasted that's been blessed of him. Not even time or gifts or anything. You know, can I be a little fanciful on this? What did the Lord use? A boy's lunch. This boy voluntarily, joyfully gave up his lunch to the Savior. God uses what we give him. God said to Moses, what have you got in your hand? A rod. What's a rod? Dried up old stick. That's enough for God. With that rod, he split the Red Sea. With that rod, he split the rock and water came forth. God can take a dried up old stick and use it. And if you're a dried up old stick, he can use you too. If you're in his hands, he takes a dried up old stick like me and uses me. We've got to be in his hands. What did David have in his hand? A sword? A spear? No. He met the giant who had a big sword and spear. What did he come with? A little old sling. That's enough. A stone in the sling. And David said, I come in the name of Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. What's the boy got? A lunch. Put yourself in his hands, friend. Don't alibi and say, I can't do anything for God. In your church, if you're asked to take a Sunday school class, don't say, I've never taught a class. I can't teach a class. Say, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of teaching a class. Who knows? It'll do more for you than it will for the class. God opens doors for you to do something for him, to witness or to teach or whatever it may be. You accept the open door. He'll supply what you need. Now, let me be fanciful again a little bit. Tell me, how much did the boy give up? 5 loaves, 5 little tortillas, and 2 sprats. What did he get back? What did he get back? You say 12 basketfuls. No, he didn't. He didn't get the 12 basketfuls. I'll tell you what he got. He got a half basketful. How do you know that? Well, you don't know boys, do you? He gave up his lunch. What do you think he did? I think he tagged right along with Andrew. His eyes bulging as he saw his bread and his fish multiplying. And he helped Andrew when they got to the end and a whole basketful left. You can't give anything to God and lose out. God's not going to be in your debt. You take that verse in Romans 11:35. Romans 11:35. You can't give to God and not have something returned. God will never be in your debt. You give him 5 loaves, he'll multiply and feed the 5,000. And I've 12 basketfuls left. And I believe personally the little fella had a half of it. He shared the basket with Andrew. You think? The Bible says they were all filled. That's the boy too. And believe me, it takes more than 5 little loaves and 2 fishes to fill the tummy of a boy who's gone all day long following the crowds without eating, gone all day without food. Believe me, it's going to take more than 5 tortillas and 2 little sprats to fill that little boy's tummy. He had a half basket full. Now, you can argue with me if you want to. I wouldn't be dogmatic on that. Only I'd like to think that just what happened. I can just see that little fellow going right along with Andrew, his eyes bulging, seeing how it was multiplying. When they got to the end, he said, Andrew, we've got a whole basket full. Yeah, Andrew says, I'll share mine. I will share it with you. Huh? Now, may I just suggest one other thing before I leave? Did you notice the Lord Jesus didn't call for volunteers? He has 5,000 men besides women and children, as one of the parsons said. 5,000. How many good waiters would you need to feed 5,000? Huh? You know, we're living in a day where we're so efficient, you know. We have efficiency experts come along and tell us how to do it efficiently. Jesus didn't ask for any efficient experts. He didn't ask for waiters. He drafts disciples. You feed them. He didn't ask for volunteers. God never asks for volunteers. He drafts disciples. Do you know any place in the Bible where he called for volunteers? You say, yes, he called for volunteers in Isaiah chapter 6. Whom shall I send and who shall go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. But there was only one in the congregation when he said that, you see. See, draft disciples. You feed them.